Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and thank you for listening. For the next 30 minutes, stick around. Some motivation, some inspiration, some education, all without any type of manipulation. Before we get going, let me just make sure you understand that. If you enjoy listening to the Flatline radio show there in your city, you may or may not wonder how we afford to broadcast in over 100 cities every Sunday morning. Well, I assume you've noticed that we don't hustle any money from you. We're not trying to sell anything. We're not making appeals for money because I live by a verse that Paul the Apostle wrote in 2 Corinthians 2:17. That verse says, "For we are not like many who peddle the word of God, but from sincerity, but as from the God, we speak Christ in the sight of God." Now listen, I don't claim to have a better understanding than many others on the airway of the radio stations that you may listen to, anyone else who has a Christian teaching show, but I do proclaim liberty from selling my books. Christian marketing, I believe, is atrocious, and I think it's sad. I get numerous ads over social media, sometimes TV, other communication mediums, all trying to sell me some book or some video about God or about His Word. I don't think Christian marketing is right. I think it's totally wrong. I think it's dishonoring. Grace living frees us from human dependency, and I and my associates have learned that if God's in it, He will pay for it. So our job is to proclaim the message, teach God's Word, and let the Father handle the finances. He does, He has, and He always will. Enough said. Today I want to turn our attention to an amazing thing. It's an amazing opportunity for you and I to live by. It's called an RMA, having a relaxed mental attitude. What a great way to live. And that's possible if you assemble a flot line in your soul. Flot, forward line of troops. That's our military acronym for the main line of resistance in your soul, where you learn God's 10 unique problem-solving devices. And that keeps you from letting the outside sources of adversity become the inside source of stress. Because as you hear us say, every time we're on the air, adversity is inevitable, but stress is optional. So turmoil in the nation's capital, you got it. Chaos in the nation's streets, it's here. Confusion in the nation's schools, consternation in the homes, what in the world is going on? Are you and I witnessing the downfall of a once great America? Or are we perhaps seeing the birth of a new way of thinking across these states that will lead to a new lifestyle in our nation's history? Now, I know what I think's happening, but I'm not here to talk about politics. That's never my job. I'm not a politician. The question I want to ask you this morning is this. How are you handling things in this daily changing environment in Client Nation USA? Should you and I be concerned? Absolutely we should be concerned. Should we worry? Absolutely not. No way should you ever worry. Jesus Christ controls history. You need to remember that. God was in business before we got here, and He'll be in business when we're long gone. So He's in charge. But adversity is inevitable, and as I said, stress is optional. In John 16:2, the Lord is quoted as telling the disciples these words. He's trying to get them to have an RMA, a relaxed mental attitude. Here's what He told them. They being the religious crowd, will make you outcast from the synagogue. But an hour is coming for everyone who kills you to think this, that he's offering service to God. Now, each of these men were told beforehand their lives would now be at risk for following Jesus Christ. In John 15:8, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me first. This attitude of hatred for our Lord Jesus Christ and the rebellion against God's rules of order are still prevalent today, especially in Client Nation USA. Nothing has changed. Why? Well, Satan is still the god of this world, as he has always has been. The question you and I must answer is, what are the mechanics to maintain a relaxed mental attitude during this time of turmoil and chaos in our country? And I think I have the answer. The Lord Jesus Christ faced the greatest opposition in history. In Matthew 4, you can read yourself the first few verses where He had a confrontation with Satan, and it's well documented. And then in John 15:11, He stated to the disciples these words, that in spite of the conflict they would face, that he himself maintained an attitude of joy, and that they themselves could be made complete by experiencing the same joy in the trials that they would face. So the truth is that you and I can maintain happiness in the face of uncertain future if we keep an RMA, a relaxed mental attitude. Now, the question is, what in the world is an RMA? What's a relaxed mental attitude? Well, first you have the conflict. The conflict has the potential to cause suffering. The question that has to be asked is, can we avoid conflict in this devil's world? And the answer is no. Can we stay free of worry? The answer is yes. This is when the faith rest drill must kick in, and this is where that relaxed mental attitude comes from, using problem-solving device number 3, the faith rest drill. Isaiah 54:17 is a great verse for you to claim to act as a shield of faith over your life. Isaiah 54:17 says, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, saith the Lord." So there's conflict, and there's a solution, using the faith rest drill. If you don't understand the faith rest drill, you should. You should know it. If you don't, write to us and get our book, Christian Problem Solving. It's free, no charge. And we cover the faith rest drill in that book. I don't have time to cover it right now, but there's 3 stages to it. And if you will use one of those 7,000 promises God has in the Bible for you, then you can stop the outside sources of adversity from becoming the inside source of stress. That means you don't have to worry, you don't have to be afraid, you don't have to be antagonistic, you don't have to be bitter. There's a better way to live. It's called the Christian life with a relaxed mental attitude. So you have a conflict. Yes, we got a conflict. And the conflict calls for us to have courage. Yes, it does. In Psalm 56:3, "Whenever I'm afraid, I will trust in you." That's courage, and that's faith. Has it ever dawned on you that fear might actually be a mental attitude sin? Fear, in my opinion, is a symptom of assuming an unassigned responsibility. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, controls history, and the Supreme Court of Heaven is open 24 hours a day. What do I have to be afraid of? Turn it over to God. Let Him handle the circumstances. If you think somebody's going to get away with something in this country, you're dead wrong. Our Father knows exactly what's going on. He's well aware of what's happening in this nation. And nobody, I don't care what politician it is, they're not going to get away with anything in God's system of judgment. So it calls for courage. Trust the Lord. Trust, that's faith. Trust requires faith. Can you trust that God will handle the situation? You can't straighten it out. God didn't send you to straighten it out. God didn't send me to straighten it out. And the more you and I get involved in anger and worrying and complaining about what's going on politically, the more it distracts us from what our real objective is, which is to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and to represent Christ to our friends and our family. So we have a conflict, and that conflict calls for courage. And that courage, if you use the faith rest drill, can produce confidence in God's provisions and in God's protection. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength." There is the words of the Apostle Paul again. It doesn't make any difference what the objective is, what the task is. You can do it in Christ Jesus. That's the prepositional phrase, in Christ Jesus. Well, listen, occupation with Christ is the 10th problem-solving device. Are you a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, meaning have you received Him as your Savior? If you have, you are in Christ. You are a new creation. If any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things become new. That's a Bible verse. It's clear. You are in Christ Jesus. And so, you have to have confidence through Christ who gives you the strength. How does He do it? By means of the Holy Spirit who indwells you and lives in you, who Christ, our Lord, promised He would send the disciples. "I'll send them when I leave." He told them He was going to send His Holy Spirit to mentor them, tutor them, help them to recall what He taught them. And then they put it in a book called the Bible. And they were letters that they wrote out and assembled later and come to a Bible. So these are our two assets, the Holy Spirit and the Bible. And God provided a man with a gift called the pastor-teacher. His objective is to stay filled with the Holy Spirit and to study and teach the Bible so that you and I can learn God's Word and apply it into our life and represent Jesus Christ to our friends. So this courage that is called for produces confidence, and courage produces contentment as well. Notice all the C words. We have a conflict, we have courage, we have confidence, now we have contentment. What does that mean? In Philippians 4:11, I have learned, the Apostle Paul said, how to be content in whatever circumstances I face. That means no animosity. That means no looking back and complaining about what you should or should not have done. It's contentment. It's a wonderful way to live. It's the greatest capacity for life you could ever have. If you're not content, God can't give you anything that'll make you happy. You know, I believe this. Listen to me carefully. I believe there are many of you that are out there today that would like to receive some gifts from God, and He would like to give them to you, but He can't do it right now because you can't handle it. You're not content with what you have. If you're content with what you have, then God can fill your cup up and it can overflow. But if you're not content, then whatever He gives you, it's not going to be enough. It'll distract you. And that's the thing about contentment, is distraction, staying away from distraction in your spiritual life. You can't grow spiritually if you're not content. And that means whatever He gives you, doesn't make if it's a lot or if it's a little, doesn't make any difference. It means you have to keep a relaxed mental attitude. You have to stay content. You have to know that Jesus Christ is in control of history and God has a plan for your life. Are you content today? There's nothing wrong with having goals and ambitions and objectives in your life, but just remember that's not the source of happiness. Happiness comes from what Jesus Christ, our Savior, taught us in Luke 11:27. Happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's word and keep it. If you hear the word of God and you keep the word of God, then you will develop capacity, righteousness, and the ability to be content in every situation. So this contentment is a wonderful thing, and it leads to a final conclusion. And that conclusion is you and I using an RMA, a relaxed mental attitude. What a great way to live. What's it like? If you have an RMA, what's it really like? Well, it's demonstrated by being able to think under pressure. Remember the Bible talked about the Fantastic Four, wisdom, knowledge, discernment, and understanding. Wisdom, knowledge, discernment, and understanding. An RMA is based and demonstrated by thinking under pressure. A prize fighter, when he gets into the ring, doesn't get in there and just start swinging away. He's thinking. He's learning how to counterpunch. He's timing his opponent's punches towards him. He's learning how to slip a punch. You have an RMA. You think under pressure. You don't get mad. You don't get upset. You don't get frustrated. You must recall pertinent Bible doctrines you've learned and then apply them to the situation. That's using the faith rest drill. Have you ever seen your dog who gets excited to see you and his tail starts wagging? Like an agitator on a washing machine just going back and forth. Sometimes your mind gets like that. If you're under adversity, if you're under pressure, if you're under adverse circumstances, and you can't concentrate, you're not going to be able to use a faith rest drill. So you have to claim a verse to calm down, claim a verse to use to stabilize your thinking. And that's where that verse that I gave you in Isaiah comes in handy. No weapon formed against you will ever prosper. You can claim that verse. That can be your verse. You can just recite it to yourself. No weapon formed against you will ever prosper. And every tongue which comes up against you in judgment, you will condemn. This is your heritage, says the Lord. So relax. Recall that pertinent doctrine you've learned and apply it to the situation. Hear it and keep it. Hear it and keep it. That's what Jesus said. Happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's word and keep it. Hear it and keep it. That's faith. You learned it, you apply it. So an RMA, a relaxed mental attitude, what a great way to live. It's the result of using some impersonal love with people. You know, one of the biggest tests in life is people testing. I was talking to my grandson last night, and he was talking about at school where some guy said he wasn't very good, that he was playing football because he dropped a pass. And so he just said, you're just not very good, and it hurt his feelings. Well, how do you deal with people that hurt your feelings? How do you deal with people that say bad things about you, that say you're a loser, say you're no good? You use impersonal love. I'm sure there are people in your community, people in your neighborhood, people in your church, people in your school that don't like you and say things about you. That's the way the world is, because everybody has a sin nature. I don't care who you are, you're not going to make everybody happy. Somebody's going to dislike you. And it may be for weird reasons. I mean, I've had people turn on me and never talk to me again, and I never even knew why. Because you didn't pay attention to them. So a relaxed mental attitude is a result of impersonal love. And impersonal love is a wonderful problem-solving device. Problem-solving device number 8 in the 10 problem-solving devices built on your flat line. It cannot be corrupted by flattery. It cannot be corrupted by human rapport, emotional rapport. Or it cannot be corrupted by being arrogant. It's free from mental attitude sins. If you have an RMA, a relaxed mental attitude, you can love even the worst type of people because you love them based on who you are, not based on who they are. And as I've told you so many times before, this is exactly the way God loved you. Remember John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Have you forgotten what a jerk you were when God loved you? You weren't perfect. You didn't have perfect righteousness, and he loved you. How did he do it? He loved you with his love, not you. He was loving you based on who he is, not based on who you are. Once you believe in Christ and you're brought into the royal family of God, then it becomes a personal love. You're his child. Prior to that, it's an impersonal love. You can use the same impersonal love in your life to love people that don't like you, people that malign or criticize you or gossip or slander you. You can love them and stay free of any revenge motivation by using impersonal love, and that's part of an RMA. So if you have enough of the Word of God in your soul, you can think under pressure, you can recall the pertinent Word of God you need to use under pressure, and you can use impersonal love when dealing with people that don't like you, people that put you down, people that malign you. That relaxed mental attitude is an amazing thing. It's an attitude of being a mature believer. And one thing it indicates is that you've got a great sense of humor. Yeah. I told my grandson, laugh it off. If the guy said you're no good, laugh at him and say, yeah, you're right, I'm no good, but I'm trying to get better. Pray for me, brother. That's a good way to turn them off. So you've got to have a good sense of humor. This sense of humor indicates that you have capacity for life as a mature believer. If you're content, you can have that sense of humor. If you're not content, you'll always be frustrated. You'll always be mad because there's something you don't have or something you want or something you wish you had, you think something I deserve to have, but I don't have it yet. And if you're looking at other people and judging your life based on what they have, you're out of line. Once you begin to have a personal love for God, problem-solving device number 6, personal love for God, and once you begin to be occupied with Christ, problem-solving device number 10, then you will no longer be threatened by things in your life that used to disturb you. You will lose that inferiority complex, which is part of your own arrogance, and you can replace it with what we're calling a relaxed mental attitude. You've turned it over to the Father. You've claimed your verses of Scripture. You're standing on faith, and you're letting God handle the details. Nothing to worry about. Never have anything to worry about. It. Relaxed mental attitude. Now, you're never going to be relaxed in a human relationship until you acquire impersonal love. That's important. You have to understand that. It's unconditional. It doesn't put conditions on you loving them. You can love them regardless of who they are. And this means that you can accept people, you can tolerate people as you find them. God didn't send you to straighten people out. Remember that. You'll stop being critical You'll stop looking down your nose and you'll stop being legalistic and saying, well, that person's not going to heaven. He said a bad word. That person's not going to heaven. He drinks beer. That's not true. The only people that don't go to heaven are the people that refuse to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's plain and simple in the Bible. So impersonal love, this wonderful problem-solving device, is actually you having a relaxed mental attitude by means of the filling of the Holy Spirit, rather than being overtly friendly or some sort of hypocrisy. It's you being filled with the Holy Spirit, claiming God's Word, relaxing, letting the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ handle the circumstances in your life. That gives you harmony. Harmony is that relaxed mental attitude related to the thinking and the function of your spiritual life, which means you're not second-guessing yourself all the time. And when there's harmony among believers, well, that demands that there's some humility and grace orientation and virtue love. You know something else? When you have a relaxed mental attitude, you can have creative thinking. Yeah, it's strange, but when we get under stress, our personality can change into an emotional, hypersensitive, caustic person. We even get sarcastic sometimes when we get under stress. That's you doing it yourself. When under stress, our routine and even our good eating habits become non-existent. And the end result is that we hurt ourselves. We run ourselves down. We think crazy. We can't sleep. We can't think. We can't eat because we're under stress. Well, when you're under stress, you can't even plan for long-term things in your life. You can't even make short-term decisions, and that's why people can self-destruct, because stress feeds on stress and eventually becomes a lifestyle. It becomes a coping machine for you, and the stressed-out person needs a stressful life to keep him from thinking in terms of reality and taking stock of his life and what's really going on. So the stressed-out person's number one priority is himself and himself only, and his obsession with himself. So when tranquility and contentment become a major part of your life, people will no longer hurt you. People can no longer shock you. People can no longer cause you to react. And then you have capacity for life, capacity for love, and the happiness that God provides for you. And then you would have the capacity to see objectively with a relaxed mental attitude everything that used to disturb you can no longer do it. What a wonderful way to live. The opposite of that RMA is stress. That's what I said. Stress in the soul always results in sin nature controlling your life. Stress in your soul destroys the spiritual life that you may have attained or you're trying to live, because it causes you to get into reversionism or going backwards. And you combine that with sin nature control in your soul, and it completely destroys any capacity you had to live your life, to love life, to have happiness. Because stress can destroy the inner spiritual strength of the soul. When you combine stress with a sin nature, it results in inner tension, and it causes you to have mental disorders, multiple dispersonality dysfunction. Even unchecked and perpetuated stress in the soul produces a psychotic Christian. God doesn't intend for you to be a psychotic Christian. God intends for you to be a normal Christian who thinks right. And what does that mean? Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. What the Bible said, that's what God intends. Who humbled himself and made himself of no reputation. That's the end of arrogance right there. So the RMA, the person with an RMA is not arrogant. The person with the RMA is not justifying why it's okay to lash out at someone. He's not self-absorbed. He's not judgmental. Remember that arrogant system starts with self-justification, self-deception, and self-absorption. That always leads to self-destruction. You can't afford to go there. I mean, come on, your life has been on the edge for a long time now because you don't have an RMA. You haven't learned enough of the Word of God to even function within an RMA. You don't even know what those 10 problem-solving devices are. And they've been in the Word of God forever. This is not something new. You must get a hold of the situation in your life. You must be the man or the woman God intended for you to be, and it's time you stepped up to the plate and took charge of your life and developed that RMA, relaxed mental attitude. Now listen, before we end this show, If you've got questions, I have a new book that we've written. It's a significant revision of an old book called Crash Course in Christianity. It's your game plan to how to grow to be a spiritually mature believer, and it's laid out clearly, and everything is supported by Scripture, and it's organized under Phase 1, Phase 2, and Phase 3 of the Christian life. And it's free. That's the most important thing. Free upon request. All you got to do is go to the website, rickhughesministries.org, rickhughesministries.org, and you can order it there from the website, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 100, Post Office Box 100, in the city of Cropwell, Alabama, Cropwell, Alabama. Our zip code is 35054. We have a couple of other books that are new, Christian Problem Solving, which is a new book. And also, we have all the transcriptions of the 2020 Flatline Radio shows available, 52 of them in print, so that you can read them at your own pace if you want to study them. So I encourage you, order those books and check out our daily podcast, The Flatline Show. It's podcasted in a convenient way on your smartphone, on your computer. You can find it on Spotify. You can find it on Apple, iTunes, or any other podcast platform. Just go to the podcast platform, hit the search button, type in The Flatline, and you'll see it. It comes right up, and it's a daily podcast. As a matter of fact, the show you're hearing today will be rebroadcast on the podcast next Tuesday. So these are all for you. These are the assets that I'm making available for you. I hope you'll take advantage of them. What a great opportunity it is for me to give you this information. I thank my Father that He's still allowing me to communicate this truth to you. What a great privilege it is for me. I trust you're listening. I trust it's making a difference in your life. If you have a question, get in touch with us anytime possible through our website, rickhughesministries.org. So until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening to this concept of the relaxed mental attitude. And I'll see you next week, same time, same place.
Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next few minutes, please stick around. Simply 30 minutes of motivation, some inspiration, some education, all being done without any type of manipulation. Because we don't play games, we're not trying to con you, we're not soliciting funds from you, we're just asking you to listen. Listen as I try to verify and identify the plan of God for your life. And if it's possible, and I can do that, then you can orient and adjust to the plan if you'd like to do so. But the Flatline comes to you every Sunday morning here on this same radio station. We broadcast over 100 radio stations every Sunday morning across America, at least one station in every state. And I would like to announce for you a new book that we've got coming out with. It's at the press now. It'll take a few weeks before we have it in our shop, but it's called A Crash Course in Christianity. And this is a rewrite of an older book, but it's been overdone, redone, excellent, and you would really enjoy it. So if your game plan is to grow spiritually, then it's all laid out and supported by Scripture. Crash Course in Christianity. You can order that from our website. Just send us an email, rick@rickhughesministries.org, or go to the website, rickhughesministries.org, and order that book, Crash Course in Christianity. We also have Christian Problem Solving, a new book we just printed, and that's available to you free of charge. And we also have all the transcripts from the 2020 year and the 2019 year. Those transcripts are all available. That's every radio show we did in 2019 and 2020 in print, in a book, in a couple of volumes. So if you'd like to have those, they're all free. We don't sell anything. We're not like those people that hustle money. We don't sell stuff. We believe if God's in it, God will pay for it. And so it's our privilege to offer it to you. So today I want to talk to you about something that I think will be very interesting to you. We want to talk about Cosmos Diabolicus. Cosmos Diabolicus. That's a D-I-A-B-O-L-I-C-U-S, Diabolicus. The word cosmos means the world, and the cosmos, you're familiar with that, the cosmos being the world, and Diabolicus meaning the devil, is from the word meaning devilish, Latin in origin, or from Greek, Koine Greek especially, diabolical or diabolic, belonging to the devil. So the cosmos, the diabolicus, is the universe. Or, in theology, the cosmos is the created heavenly bodies, the sun, the moon, the wandering stars, the fixed stars. The concept of the cosmos as the created universe and its arrangement has been important in Christendom since its very inception, and it's heavily used in the New Testament and in the Old Testament as well, over 180 times. Let me read you something about the cosmos. And the Bible says clearly here, Psalm 19, verses 2 and 3, day unto day they utter of speech, and night unto night they show of knowledge. There is no speech and no language, but their voice is not heard. Where there is no speech and no language, where their voice is not heard. So anyone that wants to know God can look at the cosmos and realize somebody created it. The Bible goes on to tell us this. He, in Psalm 147, verses 4 and 5, he telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them by their names, and great is our God, and of great power his understanding is infinite. So our God put those stars in place. They are there, and they teach us something. And there also is an analogy about the Christian in eternity, the mature believer. If you grow to spiritually mature, be a mature believer in eternity, the Bible says this about you using this concept of the stars. Daniel 12:3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and forever. Then in 1 Corinthians 15:41, there is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differs from another star in glory. And so it will be with the resurrection of the dead. So obviously, when we get to heaven, there are different stages of reward, and many believers will shine brightly, that they have been fulfilled the plan of God, they become mature believers, and they will be brighter than other believers, using that analogy of the stars, because if you look up at night, you see some that are bright and some that are not so bright, barely seen. That doesn't want to be you in eternity. You want to glow. You want to be seen in eternity. You want to hear God say, "Well done, my good and my faithful servant." So the cosmos diabolicus refers to the devil's world. And we know that Satan took dominion of this when Adam and Eve fell in the garden. And so why is there chaos on the planet Earth? That's the question we have to ask today. Why so much chaos? What's going on? Well, the Bible says there will always be chaos, and there will always be evil as long as Satan rules the world, the cosmos, this world, Earth. The chaos is only terminated by the second advent of Christ and his millennial reign for 1,000 years on this planet when he comes back. But Satan does not have the power, nor does he have the ability to control all the inhabitants of this world, or the ability to produce a perfect environment on this earth. He'd like to do that. He'd like to be vindicated for his sin in heaven, and he'd like to not have to go to the lake of fire. And if he could produce a perfect utopia, then he'd be happy with that. But he can't do it because men have sin natures. And because of that, our Lord Jesus Christ spoke and said this in Matthew 26. You will hear of wars. You will hear of rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled. For all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom will rise against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. So you can see that Jesus predicted throughout all of your life, my life, there will be trouble on this planet. Because it's a fallen planet, it's controlled by Satan himself. Although he's a super genius, we understand that, he's a fallen angel. The world is too much for him to rule. He can't do it. He's never been able to do it. And so the chaos that exists is simply an expression of his failure to pull together under his great power the successful rulership of this world. He can't do it. The inevitable consequences of man's involvement, getting involved into Satan's cosmic system, is chaos psychologically, socially, personally, nationally, and internationally. So there's a system out there, and that system is what Satan tries to pull you into. It's the cosmic system. We call it the cosmic vortex. Another word for it would be the zeitgeist, or the German word, spirit of times. When a believer or an unbeliever gets sucked into the spirit of the times, it's like a vortex or a tornado. He gets trapped and he can't get out, and it may take him down the road 20, 30, 40, 50 years and belch him out somewhere where his life is ruined. So there is a cosmic system going on, and you cannot afford to be trapped in that cosmic system. You have to learn to think as God would have you think, and that's why the Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. You can't think in terms of human viewpoint. You can't think in terms of cosmic involvement, because Satan is always trying to straighten out the devil's world. That's what political battle is all about, trying to make a better America. Do this, do that, we'll be better. If we elect this person, we'll be better. If we change these laws, we'll be better. If we give everybody some money, we'll be better. Birdseed, that's ridiculous. Men have sin natures, and nobody's going to change that. So anybody that believes and buys into this lie of Satan by the cosmic system actually becomes identified with Satan, and as such, they serve his desires and his plans. I think that's going on in Congress right now, because this happens when believers convert temptation into sin by means of their own volitional decisions. Remember what the Bible says, as so much you sow, you're going to reap. You have volition. You have a chooser in your soul, and you can choose. And you can choose to live free of the involvement in the cosmic system, free from being under control of the cosmos diabolicus, or you can choose to live under the control of the Lord Jesus Christ and divine viewpoint thinking operating under the systems of establishment that God set up in his word. It's your choice. But, you know, we will sin. We sin after salvation. It's inevitable. It's inevitable that none of us are perfect. You sin and I sin. We do it every day. The Bible says in 1 John, if we say we have no sin, the truth is not in us. So when we sin, it's inevitable that some people, because of that sin, because of their volitional decisions, they will come under the power and the influence of Satan's cosmic system. Come under the power and the influence of Cosmos Diabolicus. And this sin is usually after an appeal to our arrogance. And this is exactly what happened in the garden, appealing to the arrogance of Eve, saying, no, God just doesn't want you to be as smart as he is. So that's why he told you don't eat that fruit, because you'll know what God knows. And in her arrogance, she justified why it was okay to take a bite. That's the way arrogance works. People that are arrogant always justify their sin. And then they deceive themselves into thinking it's not really a sin, or it doesn't really bother them, or it won't really hurt them if they try it. And that leads to self-absorption, or 100% absorbed with the sin, and eventually it leads to self-destruction in a person's life. So we're all going to sin. We're all going to come under that temptation of the flesh, the world, and the devil. This is one of the reasons that America is being brought to her knees right now. National and political arrogance. National and political arrogance. We are suffering, and that suffering may be means of the weather. It could be military failure. It could be economic failure. It could be disease. All of these are designed by God to cause a change of mind, to wake us up so we will reverse our course of thinking, which, of course, will never happen without a spiritual revival. And that's the one thing Satan will do all that he can to stop. He's trying to shut down the teaching of the Word of God any way that he can, so that man has no choice and he can only rely on human viewpoint thinking or the system of Cosmos Diabolicus. So man can't solve his own problems in spite of what Satan tells you, in spite of what Satan promotes as equality or national reconciliation, which is in reality just get rid of the opposition. The grace of God has taken suffering, usually caused by our own volitional choices, or the rulership of Satan over this world, and he has converted this into a system of suffering for blessing, where people can use their volition in a couple of ways. You can use your volition to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can believe in him, and you can be promised that there will be no more pain, no more tears, no more sorrow. The old things will be passed away in eternity. So when you make a decision to believe in Christ, you don't invite Christ into your heart. I hear that all the time. People say, invite Christ into your heart. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell you to invite Christ into your heart. Now, the Holy Spirit works in spite of our misunderstanding sometimes, but the Bible says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. To believe means to trust that the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ was God's original plan, and it was done on behalf of you, and you accept that as your ticket out of the lake of fire. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe in what he did for you. And you express your faith in prayer, telling God the Father, I am willing to believe that Jesus Christ is my Savior, and he died for me, and I accept that. That's salvation. It's not inviting Christ into your heart. So, the church age, which we live in now, here we are. And Satan is in the re-education business. Re-education business. He wants to re-educate us. And there's not a day that goes by that you don't hear some goofy idea from some goofy politician about how we can solve our global warming, or how we can solve all our racial problems, or how we can solve all our need for fossil fuel, or how we can solve all the international conflicts that we're facing, or how we can solve the internal breakdown of society with the rule of law being ignored. Satan is in the re-education business, and he's trying to re-educate people to think in a different way, not God's way. And you can't solve these problems apart from God. No way possible. But because of Satan's rulership in this world, that's why we have these problems. So you have a church age, and you are in it. You live in the church age. And this age exists for us to challenge Satan during the absence of the Lord Jesus Christ from the earth. He's not here. He's in heaven. He's at the right hand of the Father. But don't worry, he's coming back. But while he's not here, we are representing Christ to the world. We're representing Christ to our friends. And we are here to challenge Satan during that time. Not to go on the offensive, but to stand our ground. When Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, the church exists to challenge and to utilize all the divine power God's available so we can defeat Satan's purposes. Now, I want you to understand, because of the great power experiment of the church age, this time you live in, this dispensation, it's a crossroads in history. This, we call it the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. This is the final blow to Satan's power on earth in the spiritual realm. When this church age is over, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns after the 7 years of tribulation, Satan is locked up in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. So remember that. We have the opportunity to stand against him. We have the opportunity to glorify God by lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ being the light of the world. We have the opportunity to preserve our nation by being salt, the preservative of the nation, but only as a mature believer, not some game-playing Christian, or some caricature of Christ, the real thing, the real person. So Satan's power on earth in the physical realm will never be broken completely until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back at the second advent. But now, in the meantime, we live in the most exciting, the most wonderful, the most unusual period of history. You're here. And the fact that we are declining today in America is simply a reminder that God has a purpose for our life and all of this. And it's a challenge for us to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So it's a wonderful time to live, but, you know, many non-Christians that reject Jesus Christ as Savior have no other choice than to be sucked into the cosmic system, to live under control of the cosmos diabolicus, and to reject the laws of establishment. Whenever a person gets to that system where he rejects all the laws of establishment, he begins to think in terms of the cosmic system and the chaos. He is a worthless person with a worthless life, because his thinking is now under demonic pressure, demonic influence. He has a worthless mind, and it's talked about in the Bible in many places. For example, the worthless mind is a status of reversionism known as the blackout of the soul for Christians. It's possible that a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ can get involved in sin, buy into the lies of the cosmic system, and scar up his soul. And therefore, Ephesians 4:17-18 says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord. There's the prepositional phrase, in the Lord. This is where it comes from. that you should not walk like the Gentiles walk in the emptiness of their mind, the futility of their mind. The empty mind, you're told to have the mind of Christ. You're told to stop thinking in terms of arrogance beyond what you should think, but think in terms of humility. As God assigned each one of us a standard of thinking, a standard of thinking from His Word. When people have the futility of their mind, they are not thinking. You're either going to live by what you think or live by what you feel. Most of the decisions, the bad decisions you made them based on what you feel. So these people that have a worthless mind, the Bible says they have their understanding darkened, Ephesians 4:18. They're alienated from the life of God. Because of their sin? No, it's not what it says. Because of the ignorance that is in them from the blindness of their own heart. So how do you blind yourself? Well, the word blindness is the wrong translation. It's the word hardness. It's the Greek word porosis, P-O-R-O-S-I-S. And it's a word for being calloused. When people buy into the cosmos diabolicus, and start to operate under that system instead of divine viewpoint, they scar up their soul. They get into areas they don't need to get into. They justify sin that is wrong. They don't accept it as wrong. They say it's okay. I can go ahead and do it. The end result is that they no longer feel guilt and they no longer feel shame. That's what it means to be hardened in the heart. The worthless mind is a hard heart that doesn't feel any sort of conviction from the Holy Spirit. So let me say this. If you're a Christian and you have believed in Jesus Christ and you are personally involved in a sinful encounter right now and it doesn't bother you, you've got a real serious problem. You're probably under divine discipline and you may be on your way out under the sentence of death until you wake up and realize what you're doing. But this is how sin works. It hardens your heart. It makes you to where you don't feel any conviction from the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is quenched and grieved by your repetitive sin and your involvement in whatever it is you're involved in. It could be an adulterous affair. It could be pornography. It could be theft. It could be political systems. Whatever it could be, if you're a believer and you're in it, is it possible that your heart has become hard so that you don't even feel wrong about it anymore? That you've justified why it's okay to do it now? If you have a worthless mind, it's judged by the control of evil. Listen to Romans 1:28. This is how the worthless mind works, and evil takes over. And since in full knowledge they rejected having the God, after careful examination of him, God delivered them over to a worthless mind doing those things, evil things, which are improper. That verse, if you will read Romans 1:26, 27, and 28 and see what it's talking about, you will find that where immorality takes over, the person that gets involved in that immorality has a worthless mind, a mind that's not worth anything. They can't make any decisions that are accurate. They have scar tissue of their heart. Their soul becomes blackened out. They're separated from the plan of God. And it's a sad state of affairs because they die trying to justify why they're right and the world is wrong. They can't ever do it. If you reject the Word of God in your life, you have a worthless mind. It's called lukewarm in the Bible. In Revelation 3:14, to the angel of the church and the Laodiceans, write this. These things says the Amen, the faithful, the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot, so then because you're lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I'm rich and I've become wealthy, I have need of nothing, and you do not know you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich in white garments. That's the glory shining in eternity in the white garments. That you may be clothed and that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. Anoint your eyes, open your eyes so you can see yourself as you really are. Because as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. That's divine discipline. Therefore be zealous and repent. Change your mind. Behold, I'm standing at the door and knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him and he with me. And that's not a salvation verse. That's a verse for believers that are out of fellowship with God, with the worthless mind, sucked into the cosmos diabolicus, following after the plan of Satan. In Hebrews 5:11, the Bible says the worthless mind is unteachable. 5:11 says, of whom we have much to say, it's hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. For by this time you ought to be teachers yourself. You now need someone to come back and teach you again the very first principles of the oracles from God, and you've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. He's a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And that's not meaning bad and bad. Good is human good, and evil is the genius of Satan. That's what the genius of Satan produces, human good. And the Bible clearly says, for by grace are we saved through faith, not by works. Human good is works. So if you think you can become, go to heaven by being a good person, or in the end God's going to weigh all your bad and weigh all your good, and you're going to come out on the good side, wrong. The only way you will ever set foot into heaven is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross for you. That's the only way. So the unteachable mind is a worthless mind, dull of hearing, can't concentrate, can't pay attention, can't keep his attention in church, can't keep his attention in the Bible. He's too busy thinking about other things. And the result is he's a casualty in the angelic conflict. Where God wants you to be a warrior, God wants you to stand up and be counted, God wants you to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. This Bible verse in Galatians 5:4 says, you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from God's grace. Worthless, casualty in the angelic conflict. In Philippians 3:18, the believer out of fellowship is the enemy of the cross. For many walk, of whom I've told you often, and now tell you again, even weeping, Paul said, they are enemies of the cross of Christ. And the worthless man has left his first love. Nevertheless, I have this against you. In Revelation 2:4, you left your first love. And he shipwrecked, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 1:19, having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck of their souls. Worthless Christians with worthless minds. Their life amounts to nothing. Their life counts for nothing. They can't think clearly. They just occupy space. They're nothing but trouble for their family, nothing but trouble for those around them, because they're so self-centered and so arrogant, they have an unrealistic self-image of who they are and what they are. They are members of the cosmos diabolicus. They're operating under Satan's viewpoint, under Satan's plan, human viewpoint, not divine viewpoint, not the plan of God. I hope that's not you. I want you to wake up and consider this, what I'm saying today. You cannot afford to be trapped in the cosmos diabolicus. You must wake up. You must come to your senses. You must understand you have an opportunity to shine as bright as the stars when you get to heaven. You don't want to get there and hear the Lord tell you, oh, have a seat over there, I'll see you in a few thousand years. You want to hear him say, well done, my good and my faithful servant. I hope that's what you're listening to. I hope that's what you're hearing. This show is designed to help you grow in grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And as such, I would like to ask one thing from you. If you're listening, wherever you may be, as we get time to sign new contracts, would you just let us hear from you? Send us an email through our website, rickhughesministries.org. That way we kind of get an idea of who's listening in what cities, and now we know where to, you know, extend our contracts and pay for the additional year. So if you're listening and this show is meaning something to you, don't be afraid to get in touch with us. We won't hassle you. We won't send you anything. We're not going to try to hustle you, but we would like to hear from you. Okay? All right. Some people ask me, why don't you pray at the end? Because we don't have enough time. We pray all the time, so we don't have to pray right now. Next week, same time, same place. Look forward to seeing you then. Till then, this is Rick Hughes, host of The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Something's